welcome to the inaugural Tech Wrap. It sounds very official.
It sounds delicious.
It's with Trent and that guy over the other side of the table, although you can't see the table, is Will.
We can use our imaginations. Imaginations are powerful.
Yeah, you can come up with lots with your mind.
I'm coming up with these words as we speak.
Indeed. Go to John's house and I use my Big Pond account on John's Wi-Fi. It comes out of my data plan.
I like to just...
And if John comes to my house and uses mine using his Big Pond ID, it's his quota it comes out of.
It's very confusing.
It's a little bit confusing. And
just go around to John's place and go, mate, what's your Wi-Fi password?
Done. I just want to borrow some data.
You don't need to go to this huge convoluted way to get onto his Wi-Fi. If you're a friend, just ask for the password. I just like to drive around looking for unsecure Wi-Fi networks, park outside people's houses and download things. So,
do they ever notice?
No. I'm gone before the cops get there. Another one I saw was Poop Fiction.
Poop Fiction.
So it's a website you can visit when you go to
the toilet.
Are you
crapping me?
I'm not shitting you. This is a website you can visit when you go to the toilet and you can tell you how you can implement how long you think you'll be, okay? Tiny, short, medium, or long. Tiny is 1 to 2 minutes, then 2 to 3 minutes, 4 to 5. And
I
then
thought what you were talking about the size of it.
This is how long you think you're going to be on the toilet. And then it'll pull you a story to read for that amount of time. So you can read a story while you're on the toilet.
That is better than the app one of the guys at work was showing me the other day, which was like, it was like a ability to open an app and connect with someone else who was on the shitter at the same time.
Oh,
and
really?
Have conversations.
So it's an app just designed to connect people that are on the toilet at that point in time.
Yes.
You check in on the toilet and you go, hey, how's yours going?
Yes.
Good. Struggling over here.
Been in here for 15 minutes.
I need to check it.
It's a hard day.
What's it called? Do you
I
know
can't
called?
Remember what the app was. Because
I need to find that. That's right.
Because that surprised me to see that people have actually been doing that. And he opened it up and showed me, he connected with someone and started having a conversation.
Oh, that's cheating if you're not on the toilet.
Like,
though.
Wow, okay. Glad it doesn't have a photo function built in, because that could get very scary.
There's a connection between Asia and Europe, split by a strait. Yeah. And instead of going by bus or car or something, you can just hit up the Uber app for a boat and cross the strait on the boat.
But then
you can be like, say, Sydney Harbour. They've already got the ferries and the water taxis and stuff.
And now we've got Ubers
Uber
running around.
And their little, like, dinghies come all about Uber. So that's like another thing they're trying to get in on now. And they had the taxis on them. And now they're going to have the boat taxis and the ferries. And they're just causing so much trouble.
And are they going to be luxury boats?
And then what do they start? Clogging up the waters now. Everyone like buying a boat to become an Uber boat driver.
Yeah.
And Uber boats everywhere. Like, high seas, there'll be like pirate battles, the Uber boats versus
Uber
the ferries. Like, flipping them off and throwing rotten fruit across.
Do you think it is a wise
sinking each other's boats and stuff, naval warfare?
Do you think it's a wise thing?
Well, I think Uber are going to continue to push the boundaries and expand as much as they possibly can.
Mm.
So, yeah, why not? Sure, it's the next logical step, I guess. There's lots of bodies of water and ferry services and taxis. And if you can create an organized system that you can get to one place or another by water, why not?
I think one of the big things that's been making news is the anti-piracy bill that the government introduced into the Senate.
Snuck that one through, didn't they? Like, it kind of appeared and then happened.
It happened.
Like, we found about after the fact, sort of, oh, this is passed now.
Yeah.
This website, say, what, Pirate Bay, I guess?
Pirate Bay, there's an example.
Probably top of the list.
I was trying to think of
most well-known one. Pirate Bay is distributing our content and we want it taken down.
And
they'll be like, rightio, yep, fair enough.
And so the federal court can look at it and go, how serious is this? Is blocking access inappropriate for this website? And is it of public interest? And how many people will it impact? And if all those criteria are satisfied and they say, well, you know, Australia does not need to see Pirate Bay, then all the ISPs have to implement a block.
Our company here, we have to change our password.
It's
every
60 days.
60 days, which I think is so frustrating and annoying that you have to do that. And what most people do is they just tack on another digit at the end of their password. So, like, it doesn't solve the problem at all. It's the illusion of security. And I think everyone that I've ever talked to does it, or they add a capital to what their original thing was. Because who's remembering a brand new password every 60 days? No one.
Well, no.
And like, if you're not doing that, then you store it in like a plain text document or something to remember. And it's like,
or on a piece of paper.
The biggest flaw ever. Just get one really good secure password the first time you set up, and then use that for the rest of your time at that company. And if you think you're going to be compromised, then get your password changed. I'm sure there's like you can detect like other logins from outside the company.
Usually,
you get an email saying, "Hey, this is trying to be an access from China. Maybe it's trying to fix things up."
Yeah.
But until that happens, you don't need to just blindly change your password every 60 days. I don't know. It annoys me so much. I hate it. I think it's ridiculous. I think you do too. Like,
at least that's more company security.
Password one, next 60 days. Password one, two. Password one, two,
two three.
Password 1234. Like, you know it's true. It's ridiculous.
Hey, empty cinemas are good. There's no other bugger to you and to disturb you when you're wanting to watch that movie.
See, then why even go to the cinema? Like, the whole point of going to a cinema is to experience the movie with a large group of people and pick up on the vibe and the atmosphere and the electricity in the air.
Hearing someone else's phone go off.
Every single moment together as one unified.
Someone sitting behind you talking loudly.
No. That's the only reason. You don't go to the cinema by yourself. Like, I'm going to the cinema today. I hope there's no one there. Just wait till watch it at Netflix at home by yourself with the lights off. In your underpants. It's pretty big news, I think, just to spark the interest of people back into space flight, because it kind of got boring for a while, right? There was the moon landing, and then nothing kind of happened for a while, and now we're looking at Pluto. Space is fun. I want to be an astrophysicist. So we like smartwatches and smart bands and fitness trackers.
Oh, I'd love a smartwatch.
Watches. You're rocking a Garmin Vivo Smart right now.
Yes, I am.
I have one at the moment. I have one,
but
I'm not wearing it.
You hardly ever wear it.
Because I always got depressed at how little steps I was doing, so I took it off. I was like, only 4,000.
Lot happening in the tech world over the last week or so.
As always.
And there's things on the horizon as well, of course, with Apple, gearing up for the iPhone, the new iPhone, which, you know, it'll be around the corner. Few weeks.
iPhone 6S plus plus Edge. Note.
Yeah, just throw in all the names because, you know, like Samsung did it last
plus
week.
OnePlus 2, Note 5, Edge plus 6S.
And then Android.
Oh, man.
Marshmallow.
Oh, yes.
Marshmallow.
We finally got word this week of the M officially stands for Marshmallow. A few podcasts back, we speculated on some possible M's.
Milkshake
was your favourite because...
Was it?
Yeah, you went with milkshake.
Brings all the boys to the yard.
Milk dud. Was that one? Milk dud? That would be good. Milk dud. Android milk dud. Well, this week Facebook has announced that they are now expanding and redesigning their newsfeed preferences. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have seen this.
So now you can tune your preferences by choosing pages of friends' posts that you always want to appear first or at the top of your newsfeed, which is handy. And in turn... Yeah. You can block all your annoying friends and pages that maybe you've liked that just post rubbish or links or
wonderful.
Just say, today I ate cereal. Oh, that's exciting, Greg.
My cereal was brown.
Now you can block him. Brand new Apple Watch, not even 2 days old, and he's already got his first scratch.
Space grey, so it stands out now.
It gives it character. It's yours now. It's officially yours.
It makes me feel sad.
The first one is always the hardest. The first scratch or dint on any brand new device is always the hardest. But once you get that first one, you kind of get over it and you stop treating it like a baby. And you
I hate scratching stuff.
It won't be the last, I'm telling you right now.
Shed a tear. I hate scratching stuff. Yeah.
Let's talk about Facebook. Right.
Facebook?
There was one big thing.
Oh, the dislike button.
You ruined it. Spoilers. These are my punchlines. Went straight to it. Sometimes there are some topics or just some news headlines out there that are just that. They're just headlines, just little bits of news that you go, oh, yeah, that was interesting.
The tidbits.
But that's pretty much it. The news is in the headline.
Yeah.
So we do a little thing called Quick Headlines of the Week, where we just throw out 3 or 5 quick headlines to inform you, and then feel free to Google it later if you find it interesting.
Mm.
We should make this a segment and have like an intro and a theme song before we do it. And I think it'd be a nice way to end as well.
Mm.
What do you think? So I was thinking something along the lines of, this is the... I can't...
Look at this. He's good at introing.
It'd be just like, this is the technology headlines of the week. These are the quick headlines. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. What do you think?
Yes.
Quick head. All right, so
lines.
This is what I've got. Facebook's new logo. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have
it
seen
it. It looks great.
New logo.
So much more pleasing.
New logo.
It's more friendly and approachable, because I was fearful of Facebook before and I didn't really want to go near it. But now I've seen this new logo, I'm all aboard. I'm across Facebook now.
You know, the new logo makes me feel so relaxed.
You can now start your Hyundai remotely with Android Wear or Apple Watch. So you don't even need keys anymore. You just tap a button on your watch. Beep, beep. Off you go. Brum. But I'm sure that's going to come to cars in the future as well.
But I've got a Vivo Smart.
Very cool. That's useless. Google. This is funny. The new Google Photos was released. You could upload all your photos to Google Photos, the Photos app.
Oh, the recognition
storage,
thing.
Blah, blah, blah. Google engineer has had to apologize now after Google Photos has automatically tagged two black people as gorillas.
Oh, no.
Those are gorillas.
That's an awkward moment.
So they've removed the gorilla feature since then, so nothing can be tagged. Even if you're taking a picture of a gorilla, it won't even say it's a gorilla, because they've removed the gorilla tag altogether now, after the controversy.
That is a very awkward moment.
It was a guy and his girlfriend, and he's this is a lovely photo of us in the park.
Gorillas.
No, uploads the Google Photos.
You're a gorilla.
Yeah, that was funny.
Sorry.
Not for them.
Lol.
I think they found the humour in it.
Yeah.
But it's been rectified. Outrage on Twitter. Goodness.
It has been splattered across the internet as well.
NASA has been granted $200,000 a year for a project that recycles human poop into man-made food.
Foob.
Food.
Food.
Recycling human waste.
Food.
Into edible food.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I'm not eating that shit.
What? The age-old question, which device would you miss the most? Now, tell me what you'd miss the most.
My toilet warmer. Warms the toilet on those chilly mornings. Probably my mobile phone. Mobile phone would be number one, because it's something you have on you at all times. It's like your go-to device. Yeah, it's going to be your mobile phone.
It is your mobile phone.
Or your cell phone.
And for most people between the age of 16 right up to 54.
That's us.
The mobile phone
that's us.
Is the largest share.
We're in that age bracket.
Yeah, yeah. Although we're in the 25 to 34 bracket.
Oh, there's a sub-bracket.
There's sub-brackets.
You were very broad there. With your
Sorry, I was very broad. There's sub-brackets. Mm. Just showing Will a copy of this little chart.
So what are the other devices that were missed?
Surprisingly.
And what's the trend going forward in age?
Surprisingly, computers were the pink colour, so they're a low percentage.
Yeah. And I didn't even think of computer, because, you know, I guess your most missed device, it's something you use all the time every day. So it's like Family Feud. We surveyed 100 people with their most missed device. Mobile phones was number one.
And even tablets were small too. Guess what the next one in line was? TV.
TV. Goodness.
They missed
the TV. I
didn't
even remember the last time I watched TV.
TV. And of course, people over the age of 55 right up to 60. TV ends up coming up like Trump's.
Yeah, you can see why it's number one, of course. And it's only, I think that'll be, you know, 90% in 10 years. Mobile phones or implanted watch device on wrist.
Oh, not these implants on wrist since that we
like
covered
your,
weeks
your,
ago.
No, your eye implant or something. Like Google Eye. They replace your eyeball with like Google Glass, but it's like straight onto your retina.
So what does Apple call it if they have a variant? They wouldn't call it I. I, Captain.
I retina.
Ah, jeez.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well,
did you see?
You can test it first if it works. Well,
maybe.
I'll do the surgery.
Maybe. Lock pattern screens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
I
these
use
things.
One. I have one on my phone. It's a lock pattern unlock.
Now, do you start from the top left corner? Yes.
No.
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 Do you start from a corner?
No.
Ah, no. You're a smart one. You're a smart one.
Do you remember when I first did my lock screen? This is the lock screen test I like to do. Whenever I get a lock screen done, I just I give it to someone. I'm like, you can have a few chances to try and
guess. Oh, yeah, I remember
doing
that.
I gave it to you. I was like, have a try and crack my lock screen. And then you couldn't get it after five. And I'm like, it's pretty safe.
The common person's lock screen.
It's like people use letters, numbers, they try and make like L's or something so it's really quick and easy and things like that. Oh, you've got a list of the most common ones. Here we go. Try them on your friends. What are they?
Yes, yes. The Norwegian University of Science and Technology decided to do a study on this. And out of the people that they got in their survey window, 77% of their participants started their lock screen patterns from a corner, which is a common. 44% started from the top left. And what I've got on this page is the letter C, the letter
O.
So
if you have six chances to break into someone's phone,
you can try some of
these combinations first and let us know how you go.
The letter C, the letter O, the letter N.
So this is drawing the letters. Yep. So we start with the N, I guess you start bottom left, up, diagonal across, and then up. Yep.
A letter S, a letter M, and a letter L.
So easily memorable, easy to sort of just with your finger as well.
And easy to break.
Because that's something you think about. Because like if you are unlocking your phone, maybe who knows how many times a day, 10, 20 times a day, maybe more. You want something that you can easily remember and that's easily going to flow nicely with your thumb and not feel like it being in some awkward thing. So it's really annoying to, you know, move your thumb around. So it makes sense, but yeah, not very secure. What are the other options? You got fingerprint, right? You got PIN.
Yeah, fingerprint on Samsung's is like a swipe thing, isn't it?
You just swipe your finger down on the home button. So what do you use to unlock your phone?
My thumb.
So you do use the fingerprint?
Yeah, I do use the fingerprint because it's easy. And I'm on iOS 9, so if you actually use the PIN code, you've got six digits now.
Oh, so it used to be five?
No, it used to be four.
Really? So they've increased
it was
four
just
to six?
Four. Now it's six.
Oh, that is secure.
So that will, in the iOS 9 release, which is just around the corner, that will be six digits.
People are just going to use their birthdays. 02.
Yeah.
03.
Are you sharing your birthday?
99.
No.
No, that's not my birthday. But no, it's like, not. I reckon if you have to do six digits, people are just going to do their birthdays. So then if you got a pin, just try and figure out that person's birthday. And try it. Because that's the easiest six-digit pin you're going to remember, isn't it? Unless they start doing the letter patterns with the code, because it's the same as doing the swipe. You could just go down, 2589 is your L, and you could do the same, you know, C with the pin. So I guess the whole swiping unlock, pattern unlock, you could apply those same principles for the keypad locks as well. So that'd be an interesting test to do.
Bring on emoticon passwords.
smiley face, sad face, poo. Party face, poo. phone unlocked. So do you think the fingerprint is the most secure way to lock your phone then?
It's a lot more secure than pins. Because
but you have a pin backup, don't you?
Yes.
So everyone that uses the fingerprint needs to have a PIN number anyway.
Yes.
So then you could just ignore the fingerprint scan and try and crack that person's code.
You could have a go at that.
So regardless if you think how secure the fingerprint is, you still need a really good, not guessable code that isn't a letter or your birthday.
Which is
hard because then you forget, you don't remember what it is, and then you're screwed.
But I do.
Is yours your birthday?
No.
What is it?
Mine's got nothing to do with birthday, birth month, birth year. It doesn't have anything to do with the street I live on, the number that I have.
Is it random numbers that you think is secure?
It's got nothing.
It's not significant to you in any way?
It's not connected with my mobile phone number, my home phone number. No, nothing that connects with anything.
Did you just go to a random number generator or something?
No, I just come up with it in my mind.
Yourself,
I just come up with it a few random digits.
What is it? We'll beep it out. Tell me.
No.
Just the first six.
No.
Six, isn't it? Six. 6-1.
No.
Okay, I give up.
No, it starts with a higher number.
Mm.
There you go. All right. That's all I'm saying.
I reckon that's a fun little thing. Find someone that has what is it? What do you call it? The swipe? What do you call it? The pattern unlock.
The pattern drawer. Pattern unlock.
Find a friend that has the pattern unlock and try these most common ones and see if they unlock it. Because you'd be doing them a favor. Better you unlock it than someone,
lose
their phone and someone finds it and then steals all their data.
People do that with GoPros, you know.
Just drop them off the top of...
Send them up with balloons and then the balloon pops in the horizon. And drops to the ground and just lands in some paddock somewhere and they grab all the
they
footage.
They survive, huh?
Well, yeah, they're pretty tough cookies.
They're durable.
And they put them inside of things too, so they don't just... Poor cow. Imagine if one of those fell on it.
So Apple.
Anyway, Apple users who...
We're a human. Don't worry about humans.
Yeah. Apple.
Worry about the cows. Getty is the first thing you think of. Imagine if it hit a cow. That would be tragic.
My food.
Don't worry about a human.
My food.
Might help get to your plate quicker if it kills a cow.
Crime-fighting dogs.
Crime-fighting dogs.
We have them out. We do have dogs around that can do that.
Oh, I love a good animal tech story.
They can find criminals. They can find criminals' illicit substances and paraphernalia. But now there's electronic sniffing dogs.
Wait, robots? Like robot dogs?
No. Real dogs that can sniff USB thumb drives and SD
cards. I thought you were going to say we have robot sniffing dogs. Like robot dogs that replace dog sniffing dogs.
That'd be just weird. So for $9,500 in the US, they've been able to train multiple dogs.
Wait, well, to sniff out electronics?
Per dog, yeah.
What? What odour is emitting from your USB drive?
I don't know. I've never sniffed a USB drive.
Maybe should you have one on you? Because I want to smell it.
No, I don't have one, unfortunately. I don't want to look like a weirdo sniffing my own USB drive.
They've trained a dog to sniff out
electronics. Yeah.
Police in North Dakota can now weaponize drones.
Weaponize.
Tasers, rubber bullets, tear gas. They can strap them onto the side of a drone, fly it about the place, maybe control some crowds, whatever, shoot people in the bum with some pellets. This is interesting because the bill that allowed this was originally implemented and was brought in to ban all weapons on law enforcement drones. The bill was later then lobbied and then amended to allow the use of non-lethal weapons on drones, thus the tear gas, tasers and rubber bullets. But come on, in the future, we probably will see some reason to have a weapon on a drone, maybe in 10 years or something, 5, 10 years.
Play George Michael, Faith.
That's not what I requested.
It's not what you requested, but it's what I requested.
So you said that to your watch?
I've said that to my watch, and it's currently opening up the application. It's actually...
I feel like I could have Googled this quicker. I know. Maybe if you're in your car, though, you're driving.
But you've got it already open, so...
Oh, action happening.
Hang on.
I feel like we should plan this stuff.
Can't find that.
Yes, we should plan this stuff. This never works. So
it
here.
Never works.
And you look at it and you go, well, this doesn't really do much at all. What the hell do I have it for? Like, you know, this is sad, you know?
It's almost like the heart rate sensors on the back of your smartphones.
Yeah.
They advertise it, S Health, big feature.
Look at this.
And you're like, you kind of buy into it. You're like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And then you try it a few first times. Oh, what's your heartbeat? Oh, what's your heartbeat? And then you compare it with people, but then you kind of never use it.
And then
again.
You go, you're well, like, oh. To do this every time, I've got to hold my phone in a stupid position.
And then half the time it doesn't work and doesn't register it. And you got to do it again and again and again. And you're just like, oh, whatever. And it's just one of those things. Facebook patents a new method to sell your credit worthiness to lenders based on your friends. Now, we're not saying they're implementing this or plan to. They're just sort of covering their bases, I guess, maybe so no one else can. But how about that? I have some dodgy friends on Facebook. Imagine if people are looking at my friends before they decide to lend me money. That's never going to happen.
No, I do not.
It's a funny idea, though, isn't it?
I do not want that. I have several.
I don't think anyone would want that.
I have dodgy people on my Facebook. I'm not going to name names because that would be very terrible to them because they might be nice people. But they might be dodgy, if you know what I mean.
Well, we're not. So, they don't know. They probably won't use it, but they're just sort of. People painting crazy things all the time.
On the launch day, you can get one on the launch day, but it's conditional because there are only so many units available at each of the telco's stores. So
you can get one, but you got to share it with someone else. Like a timeshare.
You may get one. If they've got the stock when you're going.
You can have it Monday to Thursday, and then you got to give it to Greg down the road Thursday till Sunday.
IFA's been happening overseas, and one of the things from IFA and from the LG camp was a great little device which you can attach to old, dumb appliances.
My toaster, maybe.
Yeah. Temperature and motion sensors is what it's got in it.
I can detect when my toast pops.
Little circular device, yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm so excited.
Well, that's what essentially what you could do with it. You could put it on a washing machine, for example, and detect when that has done a cycle. So it could send you a notification to your phone and go, washing's done.
Yeah, so I can put this, the washing, on the toaster. My toast, let's get back to my toast. I can put on toast in the kitchen, then I can go all into my room,
yep.
which is maybe on the other end of the house.
Yep.
Watch a video or something or read an article because you can often get distracted and carried away and, you know, 2 minutes turns into 10, 15 minutes and then you forget about your toast. And
this
like,
is why
I'm feeling
you
hungry again. Then you go over to your toast and you're like, it's all cold now and I have to reheat my toast or put it on again. But this now, I'd get a notification to my phone buzzing.
Mm-hmm. To say
my
your toast
is popped,
is done.
And then bang, I'd go get my toast.
But disclaimer, I wouldn't use my toaster in this situation because you shouldn't. You shouldn't walk away from a toaster. It's not safe, dude.
Yeah, I do it all. But
it's not safe,
I'm gonna dude. I'm going to burn the house down.
That is not safe.
No one puts the toast in, stands and waits.
You stand around the area that the toaster is.
No.
So that you can run to it if something goes wrong.
iOS 9 already has 12% of its user base after 12 hours on iOS 9.
Hey,
that's crazy.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Smash those updates out. And here's a nice little tie-in from earlier. Apparently, the most popular apps on iOS 9, or the top apps, are ad blockers. So the first thing people have done after installing the new update is go
get
straight
ad block. Well, you know what this proves?
People hate ads.
Yeah. And it also proves...
there needs to be a better method of advertising than there currently is.
It proves that they're advanced users as well.
Well, I mean, because Adblock is so simple now. You know, people set and forget type stuff. You can be a bit more advanced
but
I wouldn't exactly call iPhone users advanced.
I'm disappointed in you, son. Have you actually walked around the workplace and by friendly conversation, been able to see that the large majority of users don't know how to do advanced things with computers and tend to just
Well, I think it's like a combination of people maybe not that interested in about it and software companies making things as easy as possible for people so they don't have to think. You know what I mean? Like the most intuitive, easy to understand interface where it's like it does everything for you.
Yeah.
You don't need to delve into settings. So a combination of those two things leads to not that many sort of advanced users. Because back in the day, right, to get anything done, you'd actually have to dig into the settings. You'd have to play around with the preferences. You'd probably have to do some initial setup
and
work
you had
before
to learn
you got
it.
The app or program or bit of software running to its full potential. You'd have to be a part of that setup process.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all kind of all done for you. So kind of a lot of that learning now, I think, is not being taught. It's kind of weird in an age where everything is becoming more sort of tech advanced.
Mm.
It's also sort of people aren't that sort of tech savvy, I guess. They know how to use stuff really easily, but that's because of the design. But beyond that, it's...
Another observation, we're being cotton-wooled straight out of the box due to all the percentage of people who don't know how to and don't care about setting things up properly.
There might be hope. I saw there's a school in New York is now making computer science mandatory as one of its subjects. But I remember there always used to be like a computer studies, but if the teachers aren't any good, there's no point. I don't think I learned anything. We'd learned how to open up a CD-ROM drive, and now I don't even know what a CD-ROM drive is.
You know one of the most notable things I remember from one of my computing classes?
What's that?
When the teacher was away, we played Doom Network on the network.
We just played versus each other in Doom.
That's not work.
So you've been playing with it for a couple of weeks now. And speaking of video, I know you shot some 4K video the other night of some balls.
I did.
How'd that come up?
Balls.
I saw your screenshot, but you haven't showed me the video yet. But,
balls. I haven't shown anybody the video yet. You know,
but how did it come up? Like, was it beautiful? How was the low light? How were the balls captured?
It was actually very, very good for a camera phone. I've not been able to, at this point in time, compare it to other 4K vision.
But it looks really nice.
But given that given the low levels of light, it was able to quickly adjust to, the way things were changing. Because essentially what this act was, it was people on these flexible poles, girls standing up the top of them, and they were strapped to the pole.
Swinging around and balls
back and forth. And they were swinging back and forth, and they had like
It was majestic.
Like you call it balls, but like lit balls.
Yeah.
What are they? I can't even think of them. They're like light cover, like light shade sort of things.
I think you'd have to put up a screenshot on Twitter.
I'll need to put a screenshot up.
Yeah. So that screenshot you sent me, put it up.
Third of all emergency calls in a San Francisco call center, so that ends up being 30%, are from bum dialing.
Or pocket dialing.
Pocket dialing
Pocket calls is what I refer to. Bum dials, pocket calls. So just how does that work with touch screens? You know, you think once we went to touch screens, there's no actual physical buttons.
You know what happens?
Somebody gets an erection when the phone's in their pocket and they're... The dong hits the dial.
Then dong hits the emergency button. No, you get a situation sometimes, and I've seen my family members do this.
Yes.
The screen's activated for 2 minutes.
Not the erection part.
No.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
So screen's activated, and they just put it down and leave it like that. Yeah, so if they're putting it in their pocket, and I have done this with a smartphone.
I'll put my hand up as well.
Previous version of an iPhone, I've put it in my pocket.
We've all done it.
With the screen facing towards my leg, and you're walking up and down the street, and it's just swiping past things, and it just starts
swiping past,
and it just starts dialing a number, and I have dialed my boss by mistake.
Awkward.
When I was walking down the street during a lunch break, and he thought something was up, so he put me on speakerphone because he had other colleagues in the room, and they decided to listen to see whether they could get anything out of it. I realised, like,
ordering a Subway
a minute or two later that I was in that situation and hung up immediately and very embarrassed. And he told me when I got back to work.
So Boomerang is, it takes a series of 5 photos in quick succession.
Yep.
And then loops them.
Oh,
like a super quick, like, I guess, time lapse or like a little, like, kind of like a real, like a GIF.
Yep.
And it will play it forwards. And then it will play it backwards and then loop indefinitely until you close it.
Interesting.
So a quick 5-second burst of, oh no, a quick 1 second, a 1 second video of 5 consecutive photos played forwards and then reversed and then looped. So you could say you had a phone and you had the camera back from the food, you move it forward, then out. Yep. And then you would just have like a 1 second video image thing that'll go, whoop. Yeah, that was my in and out sound effect.
You're entertaining.
That's pretty sure that's what unless you can come up with a better sound effect. I can't remember when I saw it, but it was a while ago, but it's called the Temperscope.
Temperscope?
The Temperscope ambient weather display.
Oh.
It's coming to Indiegogo for funding. It's like one of those cool little crowdsourced ideas. And what it is it is an ambient weather display that shows you tomorrow's weather with physical examples.
Physical examples.
So if it's going to be cloudy with light showers, the device itself will generate clouds and precipitation within the box to show you that it's going to be cloudy. And I'll show you a picture here. So it's a box with a bit of like cloudiness in it. So it's like lightly overcast. So I'm not too sure how much they're going to charge for this. But like, what my thing is, if it's a clear sunny day, it's just going to be a clear box. They might have like a light down
the bottom. An LED will shine down.
Yeah, like a glowing yellow light or something that shines bright if it's going to be a clear day. But
wow.
$200 a pop they're asking for.
I really want to invest in $200 to put it in my lounge room so that I can walk out every morning and go, oh, look, it's going to be cloudy.
Yeah, you could spend...
I've got this fake
cloud
mass.
It's such a novelty. Yeah, and like whether it will work forever, like what does it link to? You know, are batteries required? I guess you got to plug it into your wall, but it's a cool... It's definitely a talking point if you had that on your coffee table and it's like all precipitating and stuff. And then I wonder if it could rain. That might be a bit of a... it might participate down the side of the glass, which would be cool. You like look at it and it's raining outside. But hey, here's a real-life weather box. Look out the freaking window.
Yeah.
Save yourself the $200 and just look out the window. Don't look into your box and your coffee table.
Yeah.
Such a gimmick.
No.
I spent 99 cents on a weather app. That'll do just the job fine. Every other week we're talking about drones because they're big everywhere and whatnot and drone stories and what's going to happen with drones and... you know, drones flying over illegal areas and things like this, and how do you get them down? How do law enforcement come across them? Well, there's a company here who's come up with sort of a drone weaponry, like
drone weaponry.
To take out drones from the sky.
Is this that one that has the...
It's called the Drone Defender.
Takes down their electronic.
Yeah, and like, it's essentially like a radio jammer. And it's built on the frame of an assault rifle. I'll show you a picture in a sec. So when the trigger is pulled, the defender floods its target with like tons and tons of signals, overwhelming it on like every frequency possible used by commercial drones, and attempts to cut it off from the pilot, so including the GPS connection. Now, what keeps the drones in the sky for most of these times is that constant connection
with the GPS. Yeah.
And if that's interfered, either the drone will land or fly back home automatically. So the idea between that is to disrupt that connection and then send the drone back, not necessarily knock it completely out of the sky, although I think that's a possibility they're working on. So here's a picture of it. As you can see, it's kind of got like a television sort of antenna pointing out of it like a shotgun, and then it's attached to like an assault rifle. So you aim that at the drone and it's essentially just a giant signal jammer. So
I have heard about this.
You have heard about it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well,
it's probably better than shooting it down with a RPG or something.
Oh, well, or who's going to do that other than the US Army?
Actually shoot it down with guns or a crossbow or anything, safely try and take it down.
I think it's a reasonable idea to come to sort of some sort of compromise for, you know, the illegal activity of these drones.
So we've seen drones flying contraband into prisons and things like this.
Yes, that's stuff that's been going on of late, hasn't it? Apple TV has only been out a week and people have already found out how fragile it is.
Oh, no.
We're referring to the remote, the quintessential device to control this thing.
Comes in handy.
It's very beautiful looking. It's very minimalistic. It is glass.
Beautiful.
It is glass, just like the smartphone screen.
No flaws in that at all.
Drop it on the floor, and you've got yourself a nice little shatter.
It's going to end up like the majority of iPhone users' phones with cracks and shatters in it.
These things, people are paying like $300 for these Apple TVs, and someone is going to drop the bloody
remote. I'm surprised you can't control it with your smartphone, the Apple TV. So why would you, why can't, what's, come on, it looks good, but just come on, make it with plastic or something.
And
what do you need, a silicone gel case for your remote?
Yeah, we're going to need remote cases now.
The remote is like the most flung around item in the living room. You still watch TV, with maybe like mates watching a movie, you got some friends over, you have family with you.
I've got one here.
Where's the remote? Lost down the couch. Where's the remote? Under the sofa. Hey, can you chuck us the remote? You fling it across the room to your friend or family member. You don't want a glass remote for your Apple TV. Come on, Apple.
Yeah, plastic is more durable.
Throw me the remote.
Catch.
Ah, my face. That was really scary. But I caught it and it didn't break. And
it's plastic.
We could throw it around, which I would, but we'd probably get into trouble from the boss.
Because we're using these devices for so many hours of the day, I mean, you...
Smartphones, smartwatches.
You wake up with the mobile phone in your hand
tablets,
to check to see what's going on Facebook or check your text messages. You get to work, you use a computer screen. In my situation here in this studio, I've got two to the right of me and two to the left of me.
And your smartphone in front of you
four.
As well.
Yeah,
your Surface off to the side. So
I've got the watch.
One, two, three, four, five, six, watch, seven with your Surface. So seven in front of you.
And so you're looking at that all day.
Seven. That's insane. Let's just take a moment to think about that.
Seven screens.
Seven monitors.
Seven screens. I've always wanted three on my desk, but no more. And then you go home and you watch TV and you're sort of looking down at your phone as well.
We don't watch TV, we watch Netflix.
Think about all these blue screens you've got in your face all day. And then you go to bed and you're looking at the phone before you go to bed. And I'm guilty of doing that. I'll sit there for like half an hour looking at the phone.
Yeah, I think most people do.
What you are doing is gradually wrecking your sleep pattern. You're not getting the melatonin building in your system.
Is there a drug we can take to supplement that? Because I don't want to give up my monitors.
Sleep is what you need.
Yeah.
You need dark periods to build the melatonin. And what they're saying is all these blue screens in our face is reducing the amount of hours that we can get to generate melatonin.
Are we building a tolerance after all these years and evolving to a more superior race. I like to think that.
I don't appear to be.
I think we're evolving. Our kids will be, if it's not blue light, they'll be going blind. Like, it hurts my eyes. It's orange. It hurts my eyes.
So,
what is this natural light? Oh.
So it'd be great to be able to just turn them off completely and have a certain amount of hours of sleep.
Yes, you're crazy.
But we don't. The reality of it is we're not going to do that.
Never.
So what they're suggesting is
live by the monitor, die by the monitor. That's what I say. We highly recommend everyone take a good break.
Yes.
If you're thinking about it, just do it.
2 weeks is good. But
2 weeks is ideal.
Unfortunately, we only get 4 weeks in a year. Mm. So it's very complex to do that.
If you've been thinking about taking a break,
take a break
now. Just do it.
Just do it tomorrow.
Even if you're just staying at home watching Netflix all day, just do it.
Take a
sickie. You'll thank us later.
Take a sickie on Monday.
Yeah, don't even call in sick. Just don't rock up to work. Just don't go.
Great
advice.
I don't endorse this, by the way, so don't put your boss onto me if he goes
off. Tell him
about
to follow us on Twitter, and
yes,
he can tweet us directly all his concerns about missing employees.
And tell us you're on leave. Tech Wrap Podcast, techwrap.net. Thank you for wasting your time listening to us.
I'll see you next week.
Catch you then. I'm Rabbit, 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 I'm Rab